Welcome back to another didactic episode of the Blue Line Brothers. I'm Fred.
I think I'm Frank.
Still?
I guess.
You haven't changed, right?
Well, I found an ID, so I'll just use it.
Oh, hey, that comes in handy once in a while, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, good deal. And we're still the Blue Line Brothers. And Frank, you're still here, so you haven't been incarcerated or anything? Had any more visits from men in dark suits or anything like that?
No, but I've had a few little green men in the backyard.
Well, yeah, that's normal, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing abnormal then.
No.
Okay, good deal. Well, now we get to talk about our continuation of the methyl ethyl bad crap that's about to befall us here in our wonderful world of I'd say jackassery or buffoonery or take your pick, I guess.
The wonderful world of the government.
Well, yeah, the deep state. The evil.
Well, you know, I wouldn't call the deep state very deep anymore, considering who's running it.
Yeah, but nobody's paying attention, so that's
exactly
like you can tell them it's a deep state, but I still don't see it, so it's not real. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go with that then. So whatever you don't identify cannot hurt you. I see how that works.
Yeah. You know, that logic would probably explain why Casper the Ghost never comes to visit me.
Well, aren't you friends with Casper?
Not after last weekend.
Oh, no. Yeah. What, some drunken debauchery or something, or?
No, I got the idea that I could get one of those spray bottles that you put water in. I put gasoline in it, and I had a lighter in my hand, and I was kind of...
You know, that reminds me. Not...
Misting. I was misting through the house, trying to see what I could...
Through your house?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know that you got a couple of people from your insurance company that listens to this podcast, don't you?
Okay, but in all fairness, I was trying to clear out the mosquitoes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Well, see, that's the thing. That brings up a quick story from, you know, my college days. Not that I ever engaged in anything childish, you know, in college, but...
Well, technically, you were still a child, so it wouldn't be childish. It was just normal.
I still act like a child, and I'm 52, so...
Well,
I
mean, see, then it's just normal.
Yeah, it's just normal.
There
but
you go.
The thing is, we had some, you know, some competition between dorm wings sometimes, and... Well, somebody got a little bit uptight in a different dorm wing, and so he decided to get revenge on us, and we were in the basement of this particular dorm, which was really cool for us because our ceilings were a lot higher, like 10, 12-foot ceilings in the basement, you know, so we could build, like, lofts and stuff like that in our room, so it was really pretty cool. So there's one bad thing about a basement, though, that I'll get to in just a second. The guy decided to... get a hold of his National Guard buddy and get a hold of this little canister. Okay, so...
Okay, but wait, was it red, yellow, or white?
Actually, it was green with red lettering. Yeah. So I need not go any further with what actual chemical combination that was. But I, one day, one nice sunny spring day, I'm coming back from the gym, and I hop into my dorm room, and I'm going to get some things together before I hit the showers. And, of course, the dorms are kind of like, I'd say somewhat like military base. You got showers on each end, you know, of the floors. And they're like squad bay showers, you know, bathrooms and stuff. So I'm getting my stuff ready before I, take a hike down the hallway to hit the shower. And all of a sudden, I hear this click, clank, 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 clank down the hallway floor. My roommate was in the room, and I said, "Oh shit!" And he goes, "What?" I said, "Get me a towel, stuff it, you know, in the crack, you know, between the floor and the door, edge of the door." "What are you talking about?" I said, "Just do it, will you? Just stop asking questions. We have about 15 to 20 seconds before all hell breaks loose." "I don't understand." "Once again, just please do it. Just give it to me." All of a sudden, psh, I hear it. Okay, I was like, "Oh crap!" And, of course, we didn't have any running water in the dorm room, so, you know, I can't, you know, get any wet rags going or anything like that. So it's like, ah, crap. But here we go. You know, it's like, psh, gas through the whole freaking basement. Well, needless to say, it took, you know, a couple of minutes to clear that up. And, oh, you know, God. Of course, the puddles of snot and
The residuals of that gets into everything.
Let's just say that there was a biohazard all over the floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best way to explain it. Okay, so needless to say, two or three of us that were aspiring law enforcement officers took it upon ourselves to, quote unquote, investigate the crime scene. Okay, and we figured out who was behind the little gas attack. So everybody down there, you know, on campus, especially in the springtime, everybody had these squirt guns, right? Oh, it's funny to squirt. Now, I never went around with a squirt gun or anything. I had better things to do, you know, besides that. So, but I borrowed a couple of squirt guns along with one of my buddies, and we were kind of chosen to do the A-team mission of finding the person responsible and gaining retribution. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, like Mission Impossible. You know, you just hear the music, the theme music of Mission Impossible. Dun, yeah. So we take it upon ourselves to grab some rubbing alcohol and some hydrogen peroxide. Let's just say we did not fill those little water pistols with water. Okay. So I should say this right now, please, I don't condone doing anything. I'm not going to explain any further about what concoction or anything like that. We're not going to promote any debauchery like this at all on this channel.
Don't tell them that, you know, it's a 2-to-1 mixture
Nobody knows anything about that. And so when, of course,
don't shake it.
The implementation of these squirt guns takes place. Not only are there a lot of suddenly grossly emotional souls, I should say, but also there's a whole lot of laundry that got really messed up. Yeah. So, not to say that I ever engaged in any juvenile debauchery in college, but every once in a while you got to have a little bit of fun.
So. I will quickly touch on that. So... it doesn't exist, but if it did, you know, that mythological thing called the E4 Mafia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
you know, once you become part of that, you pretty much get away with murder.
Yeah, you told me some stories about, it's kind of like, the deep state. Once you're a member, you're never...
Oh, really? Those stories are all sci-fi stories. The E4 Mafia doesn't exist.
Right.
But anyway.
Completely fictional, yes.
So that compound that you were talking about that, you know, leaked under the door and clouded up, they have that in powder form.
Ooh. You're right. They do. Yes. Yes.
So we went to the... went to the gas chamber, and when you go in, it's common misconception. They don't pop the canisters. They burn it.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, being who I was, and I said, let me help you with that. So I donned my mop gear, and I stood there, and I had a little piece of tin foil and a Sterno, and you'd pour some of this powder on there and let it burn.
Right.
Well, we had these decontamination containers. You know, they were this plastic with a watertight lid on it, you know, about 3 inches by 2 inches by 4 inches. somehow, some way, mine got packed full of this powder.
Ooh.
And I took it home with me. Needless to say, I did not have any dogs in my yard.
not for a long, long, long time.
I didn't have anybody in my yard.
No. No, but that's an easy way to get some peace and quiet.
Well, it's the most wonderful concoction that they have ever come up with.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, the color of it is very remnant to mustard gas. On that note, you know, it's only a war crime. The second time, right?
Exactly. Yes. Oh, yes. And so poignant that you are bringing that up in this episode, too. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 You gotta love it.
So if there's any active reserve or National Guard guys out there that, you know, may or may not be able to get their hands on some of that stuff that we were talking about, send us an email.
Yeah. 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 Get on our Facebook page and
send us a message. We could probably be interested in some of that.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. So just given about every ABC agency, you know, probable cause to come talk to me now. So,
well, that's why I just now, you know, this is old hat, really. I mean, just at the beginning of each episode, I just need to ask you, hey, have you had any visits from, you know, any dark suits or ABC agencies or anything like that? Yeah, I mean, that's what we might as well just get that over with. Because obviously, I still need to remind everybody that, hey, this is just for entertainment purposes only. We are just a couple of stooges doing a podcast, and of course, that's painfully evident by now. But please, we are only expressing our opinions.
Now, hang on. I have to say, our level of professionalism is either on the same level or maybe just a little bit below that monkey that's on the thing with the organ grinder.
You mean our president?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. But I don't know, man. Could we really beat a monkey with an organ grinder?
I don't know.
He might get more listens, you know, more listeners than we do.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's possible.
Who was that the other day that came up? It wasn't, obviously, it's not a new phrase or anything, but I really kind of like it. You know, the whole not my monkey, not my circus comment. I mean, that, of course, it's so fitting for so many things that are going on and everything right now. But, of course, that's the whole thing. When we get into the real meat and potatoes of the episode is we've been discussing a whole lot of crap that's more than likely going to happen. We obviously don't have a timeline set. But for those who may not yet believe that things are possible, I will direct you or anybody interested, if you happen to have 15, 20 minutes of your life to waste, feel free, get on some websites like the World Economic Forum, the WEF website. And if you can actually tolerate reading any deeper than 2 or 3 pages into that website, you will find their complete plan for world domination. And I'm not joking when I say that. It's actually the truth.
I will even simplify it even more. If you just go on your whatever Bing or Google or whatever you use and type in world domination and whatever agency that you want to look up, it will take you right straight to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do the in-depth research and go from one thing to another, back and forth, back and forth.
It takes right. You yeah, right exactly. There. Because we've got to make it as simple as possible for people that can only do a finger swipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you can't find it in 1 or 2 finger swipes, it does not exist in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me. But at any rate, the whole thing is, yeah, we've been talking about a lot of this stuff, you know, like the first volley of World War III was actually the release of the virus and things like that. And, you know, well, how can you figure this out once again? You know, we've been touching on some things, you know, you can actually pull up certain sites and actually, you'd actually have to read, you know, and actually do some, well, what we would call research, you know, people
that are. Do they teach that in school anymore?
Well, for people our age and older, yes. Believe it or not, just, it, you know, it's kind of like that college thing. You know, back when we went to school, you actually had to read books, you know, and learn something called the Dewey Decimal System. And, you know, go visit a location, I think commonly referred to as a library. So, you know, doing real research involves not just finding one source of information, but multiple sources of information. And then, of course, it also involves a mere modicum of intellectual honesty. Okay, so we have to be willing to find information, no matter if it supports our point of view or if it does not. And of course, that's what we talk about when we're talking about criminal investigations in law enforcement. What we do is we allow the investigation to lead us, just like we've said before, instead of trying to lead the investigation. Once you try to lead the investigation, then you're having to prove or disprove your own opinion that you may conjure. So, at any rate, when we get into this stuff, it's, how should I say? When they talk about disinformation, there are sources of what can be considered, I say, quote-unquote, legitimate sources of information. They may not be legitimate sources of information. So one of those steps in doing or conducting our investigation is to verify the veracity of the source or considered source of information. We have to spend a little bit of time, clearing the source of information before we can actually trust what we get. Now, whatever we do get, once again, we you know, pull out something called, you know, like a pen and a piece of paper and actually take notes, which I know anybody with a smart device probably may not even know what I'm talking about, you know, as far as taking notes, but you garner that information and then compare it to another source of information, an alternate source of information. That will help you determine the veracity of your sources. But that's the whole thing. You actually have to take time to investigate these sources of information to see just how legitimate they might be.
But that takes too much time, and the mental capacity of modern day society is not there.
No.
They want the quickest way to get from point A to point B with the minimal amount of work. That is why...
Well, you know what? It goes a step further because, once again, why do you, just like a couple of my buddies, and I know that you've even brought this up, you know, with some friends of your kids and stuff, how many kids these days do not want a driver's license? They don't want a driver's license because they don't want the responsibility, they don't want to take the effort to learn how to drive, because they care more about the device in their hand than they do about the freedom.
And mommy and daddy is going to cater to them until they're 35 years old.
Well, once again, we've got kids out here that, you know, they got used to Uber in college, or they got used to DoorDash or what have you. So why need a car when all you have to do is get on your smart device and magically you have food? Magically, yeah. You have a ride someplace.
Hey, when I was 15 and a half, 16 years old, I couldn't function without a car. If I wanted to get up and go somewhere, guess what?
I could not wait till I was 16 and one month old.
Get up, get in the car, and go.
Exactly.
I don't care if I went to the store. I don't care if I went to, you know, go cruise on a Friday or Saturday night, or go to a girlfriend's house, or, you know, whatever. Anything that I wanted to do, that was my lifeline to freedom.
There you go. That was it. I mean, it didn't matter what kind of car you had. My 66 Mustang, I was so happy about that. My dad and I bought that sucker about, I think I was 14 years old, and we oh man, you talk about sweat equity, learning how to rebuild carburetors and brake systems and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? Getting that car out and it was still in one piece. Obviously, it was by no means a concourse, you know, ready show car or anything. But to me, it was the best thing since sliced bread because it was a car that was operational and I could drive it all by myself. And like, oh, I'm free at last.
Hey, I had a classic.
You had a couple.
1969 Baja Bug.
There you go.
God, I tell you what, that car. I wish I had that car.
Now you told me you actually did test the water tightness of that vehicle, did you not?
Unintentionally, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, see,
and it floats.
That was a precursor to the Hemet in the sand routine. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
Almost that. Like I can detect a theme here.
I do not recall.
Oh, that's right. Suddenly, memory gets foggy.
I do not recall that.
Kind of like our government leaders. Completely foggy, yes. Well, by design, I might add, of course, because guess what? Well, if I play stupid, then I'm not complicit in whatever's about to happen or whatever I plan to happen.
Well, that's... Let's put it this way. You know, if you watch the news and even if you live under a rock, you know what's going on in Israel and, you know, that fake war in Ukraine and everything else. Which, you know, that does bring up a good question. So, how much money have we sent to this whole Russian-Ukraine... play that they have going on now?
The last, it's been about a week or so that I actually paid attention. The last number that I heard was just under $50 billion.
Okay. Like 48. So $50 billion that we have dumped, well, Sleepy Joe has dumped our money into that country to go into some other pocket. When was the last time that you actually saw some, you know, entrenched journalists, actual wartime footage, the carnage, the shootouts, you know, when was the last time you saw any of that?
Well, since I don't watch the mainstream media, never.
Okay, now let's talk about Israel. How many decades has Israel been fighting, just about everybody in that area?
Officially since 1948, but yes, as far as Jewish and Persians and all that stuff, it goes back to the Temple of Solomon,
now,
basically.
How much actual blood, guts, and gore, blowing things up footage have you seen from that?
I haven't seen any, but the alternate news sources that I follow, they do have a few entrenched news people.
Right. So, how much money have we sent to Israel?
Well, apparently there's a proposal to send $100 billion or something, or $100 million or $100 billion.
Okay, so they're actually doing it the correct way now.
Oh,
they're
going
to propose that we send X amount of dollars to this place to help out with them, as opposed to, you know, this worthless bag of your president, because I didn't vote for him, just took it upon himself to send all the money to Ukraine.
You mean the laundromat?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what it's for.
I guarantee you that money went there, got divvied up amongst the corrupt...
You mean the weaponry that was meant for Ukraine, it's actually in the hands of a handful of terrorist organizations in the Middle East?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's back up just a second.
So that money, I guarantee you there's a percentage of that money that has worked its way back into that piece of shit's pocket, a bank account.
Of course, that's why I call it the laundromat. It's the Ukrainian laundromat is what it is. Excuse me. And remember, those terrorist organizations... that we've just been sending some weaponry to and everything. But for the rest of those listening, if you may not realize by now, our CIA and the Israeli government actually funded and armed Hamas. Now I call them Hamas because yeah. I just don't like them. So, but the whole point is about 15, 16 years ago in that neighborhood. Once again, feel free to look it up because we're just talking out of the side of our heads here. But the CIA and the Israeli government actually funded Hamas.
Yep.
Okay. Now the CIA. Now let's go back for those of us in the United States. That would be about our age or older, would remember back in the 80s, the debacle with Libya. Remember Gaddafi? Okay.
Do not cross this line.
Right, right.
Okay,
the bombing in Beirut line. That killed so many Marines and all back in 83 and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Our CIA placed Gaddafi in power, just like they placed Hussein in power in Iraq.
They were
Iraq.
Scapegoats.
Well, of course they were, but the whole point is, we've created our own enemies for the past, well, since World War II. When the
probably
OSS...
World War One, to be honest.
Well, yeah, but when the OSS became the CIA during World War II, and they basically took out Tesla... I mean, stole Tesla's patents. I mean, took possession of them for safekeeping.
Yeah.
They, once again, it's... funny how the timing works out here. Once again, it's just a coincidence. but that's also the time that, we've already talked about the formation of the Fed and Jekyll Island and stuff like that. We've already made mention of that stuff and how we can trace things back to the Rothschilds family and all that stuff back in the mid-1700s with Mayor Rothschilds and all that stuff. It's World War II, of course, we know that was planned, right? Just like World War I, just like what we're about to enter World War III officially here pretty soon. It's all been planned out. Because once again, every time we enter into such dire straits within the world, certain entities make a boatload of money off of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, a boatload, like a large... What's the largest boat ever built? Okay, multiply that by about 25. That's how much money. Okay, the impending economic doom of which we've discussed already as far as what's going to happen here in this country is going to happen this time around worldwide because, funny enough, Russia actually has about the most stable economy in the whole world right now. China, we're about ready to drop off the edge of the cliff. So is Japan. Once they start sending all these bonds back to us, our inverted bond yield is already so far out of whack. They're going to drop the value of the dollar to about a nickel here. And when they do that, everybody's going to lose everything. Okay, they're going to have bail-ins on the banks, not bail-outs. They're going to, anything that you have in a bank or in some type of electronic account any place is going to go poof. And be gone, okay? You will no longer have it. So whatever 401ks and all this stuff, poof, be gone, okay? Because who makes all this money, okay? The time in the world when the most number of millionaires are made are during recessions, depressions, and mm-hmm. major league crashes. Because the people in the know that have manipulated things, okay, they have money set aside. Once everything crashes down to pennies on the dollar, they buy up all the assets, and within 2 or 3 years, guess who has everything? And they're
and
making...
And they're worth twice the amount that they were...
Yeah, but before. What makes this situation 10 times worse for us peasants around the world, not just in this country, but around the world, is that the United States has had the fiat currency like so many other nations around the world, but we've been the world's currency, basically. Okay, mm-hmm. That's the best way to put it. Well, that's about to change. And
well,
so when
every country in this world has been hanging on our purse strings at
right.
one point in time.
Right, and that's one reason why the CIA created these enemies and blah, blah, blah. Once again, we can go into this, but we just don't, you know, we're not going to... There's so many opportunities to turn this podcast into something else, but but the whole thing is, feel free to, once again, I'd like to throw this out there, prove that we're wrong, okay? Please say, hey, we're wrong, but show us proof. Show us rock-hard proof. Once again, verify your sources, verify veracity, and then say, boom, you're wrong. And
actually, I also want to say, go ahead and hit me, you know, hit us up with your half-baked ideas, because even a half-baked idea has a percentage of truth to it.
Of course. See, that's the thing. You know what I used to do? I mean, maybe I should not admit this, but I, part of interview interrogation techniques, okay? Once again, this isn't a huge secret or anything, but once again, if I want to pass a story off to a bad guy or a witness to see whether or not he or she is legitimate or telling the truth or really doing what they say they're doing and all this stuff, I will make up a story. I will pull it out of my rear end, okay? But I will strategically inject certain points of truth within that story, just enough to people, oh my gosh. I'll give you a quick example. Okay, okay. What do we say when we say okay a lot? What's like okie dokie, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, I'm one day there's a guy that he I'm trying to you know, get this guy to talk a little bit, you know, say something to me. So I'm saying, and I'm just deciding, you know what, I'm just going to pull something out of my ass, you know, just to mess with this guy a little bit. So he said something about okie dokie. I said, okie dokie. I said, you know, that derives from the Latin root word of okus docimus. And the guy looks at me and says, really? I said, yeah. I said, how did you know that? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, just using that phrase, okie dokie. I said, man, that's a sign of deep intelligence. I said, hey, you understand okie dokie. Then you understand okus docimus. You understand Latin and the meaning behind this. He's like, well, you know, of course, that's what I wanted to do. I'm sitting there puffing him up and all this stuff. But yeah, but that's how you do this. Okay. You pull something out of your wazoo and, you know, just sprinkle a little bit of truth, like okie dokie is slang for okay or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, hey, what sounds good? Okus docimus. Okay, yeah, I'll go with that. You know, and this guy's looking at me, oh my God. Yeah, I studied Latin in college and blah, 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 blah. Oh, did you? Oh, yeah, yeah. All this stuff. So, but this is how you do things. And, you know, so when you exercise these things as a law enforcement officer or investigator or military or intelligence of some sort or something like that, it's easy for you to identify these techniques being deployed, okay? So, for instance, when we see this crap or hear this crap on the radio, on the news or something, you just start laughing because we know it's bull crap, all right? We know, and oftentimes by the tone of the voice, you know it's bull crap, okay? Because once again, nonverbal communication is 80% of human communication. Okay, now back when I was in school 30 years ago, it was 70%, so somehow we grew 10% in nonverbal communication, you know, over the last 30 years. I don't know how that happened, but supposedly the experts say now it's 80% of all human communication is nonverbal. So I really don't care what comes out of the pie hole. Well, I care about how it comes out.
You know, nonverbal communication.
Right, exactly. That finger is just so big that, you know.
Hey, Don. Yeah.
So the whole thing is, yes, if you actually put your mind to it, you can identify a lot of this stuff by yourself. Okay, you don't need the Encyclopedia Britannica to look up a lot of this stuff. Once you realize what's going on, you can exercise some of these things for yourself and find out, well, at least determine that, hey, something is questionable.
Well,
I think I need to look into this a little bit.
I mean, here's the thing. It all breaks down to this. If you hear something and it just doesn't sound right, you use that little thing in your head called common sense.
It's not very common, though.
It's like, damn, you know, they're saying X, Y, and Z. That doesn't sound right. You go look it up. And, you know, X, Y, and Z is probably LMNOP.
Well, funny you should bring that up, because something else I wanted to bring up real quick, too, and that's a great segue, is take a look at what you were discussing before, Israeli conflict overseas in the Middle East. I'll just say Middle East conflict. How about that? number one, taking sides doesn't really net you the truth. No. Okay. Now,
because they want you to pick one side or the
right,
other.
Right, of course. They once again, but by design.
They want you to pick the side that they want you to pick.
Right, because they don't want you to know the truth.
Right.
Okay, so this is a classic, classic ploy. All right. Now, so just for a minute, don't take any sides. Now, I know it's hard to do because once that notion's implanted in your head, you know, it's a human thing, you know, human condition thing. But the whole thing is, let's go back and do a little bit of research, okay? Both main sides, and of course, once again, as a police officer, we know there's always more than two sides to a story. Mm-hmm. There's normally three, four, or five, sometimes a dozen or so.
There's her side, his side, and then there's the truth.
Right, exactly. There you go. It's kind of like right up your alley. What is it? The right way, the wrong way, and the army way to do things?
And then there's my way.
And then there's your way. There you go. Somewhere within that scale, your way. But the whole thing is, that whole tribalistic thing is, let's get people on sides so they fight and bicker amongst themselves, then they won't spend any time actually trying to find the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so once again, classic ploy here. But so take away the sides, and you will find, once again, you don't have to, maybe 10 minutes worth of investigation, you're going to find that both sides are complicit. All right? In other words, and I say, let me rephrase that. There are factions within each side. Okay, that's the best way to put it, because we have a whole lot of civilians, that are in the middle that are getting slaughtered on all sides.
I mean, we'll put it this way. Both sides, neither one of them can say that they're saintly, because both sides have done some mortifying things to each other over the years. You know, it's like just the latest one, you know, where they, you know, Hamas came in and supposedly butchered all the women and kids and, you know, and everything else. Well, guess what? If you look back in history a little bit, Israelis did the same exact thing.
And recently, we've got missiles fired into Syria. Mm-hmm. And why would you do that if you're trying to, you know, go after the people that impinged your security and slaughtered your people? You know, once again, there are all kinds of questions that come to mind very quickly on all sides. But the whole point is, the powers that be want this conflict to erupt. Okay, that's the goal. Okay, they want everybody to be embroiled. They want a civil war. Now, actually, Israel's on the brink of civil war right now. And I'm not going to get into all that stuff, but once again, feel free. It's the information's out there, and you can find it if you want to. You're not going to find it on major news networks at all. But the whole thing is, there are, the best way to put it is, factions within each side that want nothing but fighting, okay? There are factions that have been fighting each other since the dawn, since the erection of the Solomon Temple, okay?
And we're talking centuries.
Centuries. And people have been, once again, garnering a great deal of money off of that fighting, okay? Mm-hmm. So once again, as long as we can keep them fighting, you know, the powers that be, the puppeteers, so to speak, are going to keep garnering, you know, grabbing in that money, okay? That's what it's about, okay? Now, like I said, we talk about the Rothschilds, okay? They want to remain invisible. They don't want anybody to know that they actually own the central banks around the world, okay? They don't want it because, member banks own the central bank, you know, like the Fed and here in this country. Well, who owns the member banks?
Who owns the Fed?
Okay, who sits on the board of the Fed? Oh, a Rothschild. Well, until he dropped dead here, earlier this year, last year, or something like that. So
and then the dumbasses put it out. Blah 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 Rothschild,
right?
Publicly, right there.
Like, and then they hire this guy to do YouTube videos trying to quote unquote dispel the rumors of the Rothschilds' empire. Oh, okay, but you conveniently gloss over the truth about fractional reserve banking and the implementation of the Fed and the central banks in Europe and England and around the world in the 1700s and blah, blah, blah. Once again, we're not going to turn into a history lesson, but feel free to go to that place that we refer to as the library and find some history books, and you'd be amazed what you might just learn. But with all this crap going on in the world, the question is, how the hell are we going to survive this stuff, Frank?
Well, you want me on my honest opinion?
Yeah, please tell me.
I honestly and truthfully believe that it is time that we, the people, forcibly take this country back.
Dang on it, man. How many visits from guys in dark suits are you
going to
get? I don't
know, but this one's probably really going to go right to the top. But, you know, forcibly it is what it sounds like. You know, these idiots in government that have never had a real job have lost track of where they are and what they do, because they work for us. You don't rule us. And we need to go in, forcibly remove them, and if you want to get technical about it, liquefy their assets and put that money back into this country.
Right.
And start completely over. Because there's, you know, that sacred piece of paper that, you know, these little assholes have been systematically trying to shred for the last 100 years. You know, I think they call it the Constitution, I think it's called.
Oh, you mean that little piece of parchment to which we took an oath as law enforcement officers?
Yeah, is that the one?
Yeah, I think so.
That is the only law of the land that you really need.
Well, before we go any further, I'm going to ask you a question that I get asked. And once again, being a member of the military, especially being assigned to where you were, you would have good insight on this. So, you know, I talk about, once again, they say, hey, let's fill Gitmo. That's my little comment when I say, you know, instead of take over the government, I say, hey, we need to fill Guantanamo Bay. For those of you abroad that may not be familiar, the U.S. has a military base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And it's been there for quite a long time now. Mm-hmm. I mean, 50, 60 years, I think, maybe longer.
It came to, I don't want to say public eye, but it became mainstream when there were some pictures that were...
Well, back in the 60s during Bay of Pigs issues and stuff like that. But the whole thing is the U.S. military slowly over the years have expanded the responsibility of that base. And slowly but surely it has become basically a military prison. Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, now it made news back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when we were taking the quote-unquote prisoners of war there when the war on terror, right?
Yeah.
So it made news as far... Now, since then, supposedly, I don't know for sure, but I've read about a few accounts stating that they've actually invested some more assets into that base as far as expanding the holding capabilities of the military prison there.
I believe that they have at least doubled it.
Okay, so the one thing that a lot of people don't understand in this country, because once again, they really don't cover this in civics class, and I know probably our audience abroad may not be familiar with military tribunals. So how about instead of freaking out everybody and we just leave it hanging like this, like, oh my gosh, take over the government. Oh, no. We don't propose, you know, lobbing nuclear missiles into D.C. or anything like that. That's not it. However, please explain to us the process of a military tribunal.
But wait, I got to finish what I was saying.
Okay, go ahead.
So when you forcibly remove them from office, so in D.C., you have the White House, then it goes the Ellipse, and then there is the Mall. You know, and you have the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial at one end, and, you know, the corrupt house at the other end. I would propose that right there between the Washington and the Lincoln Memorials, we take all these government officials, and then we publicly tar and feather them.
Yes.
Yes.
Then take them directly to Alzheimer's, Reagan International Airport, and fly them one way, coach, to Gitmo.
There you go. We talked about this before. I almost forgot your idea, man. That is classic.
And then once that's all said and done with, then we can, as a collective, sit back and go, okay, pardon my French, but they have really fucked this country up. How are we going to fix it?
There you go.
Because now, there's nobody there to enforce that fake laws that they, put on us, then you know what? We can start over. And we can make this country how we want.
Put somebody, well, we'd actually have to find some honest people.
I'll put my hat in the ring.
Okay, there's one. But yeah, the tar and feather reference, for those who may not be familiar with history, that was one of the most endearing ways of identifying convicted bad guys, let's just say mm-hmm. that.
And I do believe that our friends in Australia, that was a favorite form of punishment there, too.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I believe the
British colonies really enjoyed...
The Wingin Palms brought that down, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go. Yeah.
And that was their favorite form of punishment.
We'll make everybody look like chickens.
So if anybody down there, you give me some insight, let me know. But yes.
Okay, the military tribunals.
In layman's terms, a military tribunal is it's like a court. I'm trying to think of how I want to put this to where it's layman's terms. It's a court system that is ran by the military, and it's a no-nonsense, you're not going to buy this off like a normal judiciary system that we have in the public. They don't take shit.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do the typical horse manure.
I need to put I need to file an injunction on this, and I need an extension for this. You have this date, this time, be here, or you're guilty.
That simple.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a no nonsense deal. the leader of the tribunal, X person, we think they did this. Here you go. They take it. And once that happens, it is black and white. There's no gray area like in the judiciary system now. It's this. It's either guilty or innocent. That's it.
That's it. Now, and the sentence is carried out immediately.
Immediately. There's no, turn yourself in 6 months.
Right.
No. You're guilty. You get escorted out. You take you out into the back 40, strap you to a tree, and go bang, bang, and you're done.
Or in this case, send them to Gitmo.
No. You go to the tree.
Oh, okay.
Because for treason, I do believe that it's a death penalty.
Oh, it's still I think it's still in the books. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if it was going to a military tribunal... I would not be surprised if it was going to be on a treasonous level.
Well, let's put it this way. Anybody who's been paying attention to even, a third of the stuff that's been going on would probably think that treason would be, I hate to say it, a rather common occurrence with a lot of these deep state operatives.
And you know what? I would be... quite okay. And here's the thing. You would only have to get two or three convicted of treason and then And then they would get the, you know, the death penalty publicly before people started to pull their head out of their ass.
Right. Oh, yeah. Once again, like we call it in the business, you have to set an example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, if you have a farm and you have coyotes coming in and out stealing your chickens.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is kill one of them.
Right.
And then you hang that up on a fence post.
Right.
And they will not come back.
And it's like a universal sign.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a head on a pike.
Yep.
Yeah. We've had that discussion before.
I was going to say, didn't we talk about that? Because yes. I have a couple ideas for that, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you wanted to make a fence encircling your backyard with heads on pikes.
I want to do the whole front yard and the backyard.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And then I want to douse them in gasoline so I can just.
So the whole point to this is there actually are legal remedies to the debauchery being committed mm-hmm. right now. By these clown show idiots.
That's the other thing. So the tribunal does not fall under, you know, like the president or anybody else.
Right.
He cannot say, "Oh no, you can't do that. Sorry,
we are
outside of your
jurisprudence."
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do our thing. We were set in motion. And now we're about to hang you up by
your touch. Within their own scope under the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like FEMA, you know. FEMA mm-hmm. is outside of the government.
Right.
They are their own entity. They have their own budget. They make up their own rules.
Right.
And they just hang out until this idiot in his losing his mind state, you know, signs a certain piece of paper which enacts FEMA, and then we're all screwed.
Yeah, people don't understand that we're literally 10 seconds away in any given moment from a police state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that 10 seconds, I'm being, you know.
All you have to do is look up martial law.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one thing that on a federal level, if the president enacts martial law, it suspends the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. It suspends everything, and the government. They're no longer in existence, and FEMA takes over. And what FEMA works on is these weird little things that every president has put in place. They call them executive orders. You want to read something that will literally curl your hair?
Yeah.
Look up FEMA executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
you know, just a few off the top of my head. There's an executive order that gives FEMA the power to take over personal and commercial property. The power companies, the water company, the railroad, the public roadways, airlines, everything. And these are all presidential executive orders that allow them the scope of work and their authority to do that.
And they've done this because we've been within an actual mm-hmm. defunct corporation of the United States since 1871.
I can't remember how many executive orders. I want to say it's close to 20, maybe a little more than that. But, I mean, they go all the way down and they break it down like the, you know, I know everybody's heard of like, oh, it's the FEMA camps and blah, blah, blah. Well, there's an executive order for that.
Mm-hmm. There is.
There is an executive order because at one point in time, I used to work for the post office.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to tell the story.
So the postmaster of every post office, which, you know, essentially is the manager of that post office. Well, they, according to this executive order, the post office is not the place where you go get your mail. It's the place where you go with your family, and they send you to whatever work camp or a FEMA camp, and you're not going as a family.
You're getting processed like cattle.
You're going to get in a process, and they may not split you up and go, okay, Billy Joe, you're going over here, your wife is going over here, and your two kids, well, we're going to split them up and send them somewhere else. Because you're going to be essentially cattle and work in the cog of the FEMA.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In that instance, that is the only time that the postmaster is allowed to don a firearm.
Yes.
people don't believe that. Look it up. FEMA executive orders.
And that, for those who may not be familiar, Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. Yeah. So, yes, it
that,
is.
That, and, you know, they... Every national disaster and all this other stuff, you know, you'll hear FEMA is coming in to save the day. Well, guess what? They're not saving the day. These defunct prisons. Mm-hmm. If you look at them on a map, every prison is in close proximity to what? A major highway or a railhead.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who owns those defunct prisons? FEMA.
Right.
You want to know where the FEMA camps are? Find your defunct prison. Mm-hmm. You got railhead and major highways for people to be trucked in and held in place. So who do you think's going to go to those? Not your average Joe Schmo. No. People like us are on a list, and we're going to be scooped up first to be put in so we don't cause problems.
Right. Yes, we couldn't.
But that's only if I'm at home when you come knocking on the door.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or, you know, I might open the door and go, let me take your picture, wait for the flash. But, the government is the United States and we the people's worst enemy. It's not some country 12,000 miles away. It's not some other country that likes to eat rice and has goofy haircuts. It's not some country that, you know, likes to ride bears and drink vodka. It's our own government. It's right. Internal.
The enemy is within and has been. It has been implanted. It has taken several decades to implant the entire process, but that's exactly what they've done.
And we the people are entirely too stupid to see it.
Right. This all started in 1871. We don't actually live in the country of which we were told that we live. Let's just put it that way. The Free Republic of the United States of America, let's just say we don't live within that entity since 1871.
Mm-mm.
We live within a defunct corporation of the United States of America. That is why we have to have birth certificates. That's why we have to have
driver's license and plates on your vehicles. Exactly. And everything else.
We are tagged cattle.
That's
exactly what we are.
My honest opinion is a full-blown EMP strike to knock this country back into the 1800s is probably going to be the best reset button that ever happened.
Well, with that, we're going to continue in the next episode, because we're almost out of time, so we got to have a cliffhanger.
No. See?
Well, I'm still Fred.
And I'm Frank.
Well, we'll see you next time.
Bye.